I hope you're prepared. You notice I brought a songbook up. What's all the laughing about? Yeah, you think I'm going to sing? So the pastor's coming back to teach now, and I heard I'm going to sing, all right? No, I got to tell you something that's kind of scary in a way, but it's happened one other time. I had four lessons prepared to teach. And I wasn't comfortable with any of them. Be honest with you, I got them right here in my Bible. I get here this morning. I always get here early because I want to make sure everything's clean and neat and ready to go. And I was praying, and the Holy Spirit says, "You're not going to use any one of those." I said, "Whoops, what are you talking about?" I was talking to the Holy Spirit just like that. I said, "Now wait a minute." And he says, "This is what I want you to talk about." And then I quit praying, I got a piece of paper out. Actually, my notes from one of the lessons are right here. Roll on the back and give me an outline. So we'll see how it goes, all right? So if you don't like it, blame the Holy Spirit. No, don't do that, all right? You know, this is a joyous time of year to think about the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Savior. But there's so many times there's something that we leave out that's so important. And this is what the Holy Spirit brought to my mind. You know, Jesus prepared himself for the cross. He got at a very special place and prayed. A special place, and he prayed. The reason I brought the songbook up, there's a song that I want to read to you to get started. Then we'll have a word of prayer. I came to the garden alone, where the dew was still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ears, the Son of God discloses. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. I'll stay in the garden with him. Through the night, all around me, he's falling. But he bids me to go through the voices of woe's life. His voice to me is calling. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I just simply want to ask you, before we get started, do you have a garden? Do you have a place where you get alone with your Heavenly Father and with Jesus? If you don't, I encourage you to do so. Some of the sweetest times I have is when I'm alone praying. And not only praying, but listening. Many, many times as we're praying, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And he utters the sound what to pray. And this morning, he was telling me to come up with this little lesson. It's simply called the agony in the garden. And I think so many times we forget the garden. You see, there's a little garden not too far in Jerusalem called the Mount of Olives. It was a garden it didn't have beautiful flowers in it, but it did have a lot of olive trees. A garden where Jesus always took his disciples many, many times. He took his disciples, and he taught them many things there, and he prayed with them. As many times Jesus went there to be alone and pray. It was a special place to him. And you and I need our special place too. We need to have our garden. Oh, it might not be olive trees. It could be in the backyard. But you need to have that little place that you get alone with God. I'm afraid as Christians that we fail to spend some time with our Heavenly Father like we should. We're too busy. You know, we watch our TVs, we get on the little phones and talk to people, and we text, and we do everything else. But we don't spend as much time with the Heavenly Father like we should. I'm guilty. I need to pray more, and I need to get in God's Word more. If we spend more time doing other things, don't you think we ought to take at least 10% of our time and pray? and read God's word. I want you to think about that this morning. As we're going to have a word of prayer, then I'm going to have somebody read the text, and then we'll get in the lesson. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day thou hast given us. We thank you for the time of year that reflect more on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior. We think of the trial and how you was battered and beat and spit upon, how your beard was literally pulled out by the roots, how the cat of nine tails cut you wide open, blood gushing all over the place. We think of the crown of thorns that was 2.5 to 3 inches long, planted on your forehead, dug deep down in, and blood running down your face. But that wasn't the worst part of it all. You carried the cross part way. They nailed you to that old rugged cross. And I think as they dropped the cross in that hole, how it must have angered, hurt you as you're in your arms and your legs as the cross hit the bottom of the hole. But that's not the worst part. The worst part, when you took my sin and the sin of the whole world and placed it on you, a holy God that knew no sin. How awful that must have been. And God, we need to learn to love you. We need to learn to serve you. We need to deny ourselves and just do what you want in our lives. We pray as we go through this Sunday school lesson, Lord, I didn't study it, but you brought it before me. And I just pray you give me the words to say and the thoughts. Holy Spirit, speak through me to them. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to have somebody read Luke 22, verse 39 through 41. Luke 22, verse 39 through 41. In the garden. He took his disciples there many times, as I said. He took them there many times just to teach them. Spend some time teaching them. They was alone with their master. And he taught them. Some listened. Others turned their ears off. One especially. We call him Judas. He really wasn't one of his own. Even though he was a disciple. But you know, Jesus took time. He loved them. And he took time to teach him. I'm going to turn to Matthew. Go to Matthew 26. And verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said unto them, All ye shall offend me because of this night. Now listen to me. He's warning them, wasn't he? He said, all you going to run from me. All you're going to deny me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. That sounds like some of us. You know, we criticize Peter all the time. And he criticized him because he walked on the water and he sunk. Most of us wouldn't even got out to walk on the water, right? We just wouldn't. We wouldn't have the faith. So why do we criticize him? Here he says, hey, I'm not going to offend you. Not me. I've said that many times, Lord. Hey, I'm not going to offend you. Hey, Lord, I'm going to do what you tell me to. Then I turn around and run the other way. So we're no different than Peter. We need to realize that God took this special time in this garden to be a teacher. He spent time with his disciples. Can I ask you a question? Do you get alone where you study the Word of God? I'm not saying read it. I said study it. There is a difference. Yes, we need to read the Bible through. Yes, we must do that. But we need to study the Word of God. Just because a man gets up here and says something, does that make it the absolute truth? Way to find out is get right here. You asked our pastor, he will tell you, don't take his word for it, get in God's word. Study the word of God to show yourself approved unto him. We need to learn to study the Word of God. I don't know about you, but there's times I was reading by, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, stop right there. And I remember one time in the Psalms, I was reading it, and he said, stop. I read it again. I still didn't get nothing out. So I read it again. I think I read it 20 times. All of a sudden, I said, cool. It was plain as day what he's trying to tell me. Do you study the Word of God? Do you get alone in that garden to allow the Holy Spirit to teach? That's what we need to do. We need to have that special spot. A garden. You can call anything a garden you want. They called olive trees a garden. I don't know if I would, but they did. Find that special spot. Go to Mark chapter 14, verse 22 through 28. A teacher. Did you listen? He was trying to teach him something. He was trying to tell them, you know, I'm going to die on the cross. You're not going to have me much longer. He was teaching them. But do you think they was listening? I personally don't think they was listening like they should have been. I think they said, what he's talking about? How many times in church have you sat there and heard the pastor preach or somebody preach? You said, what's he talking about? It's not about me. I guess I don't need to listen. As many times I sat in church and my mind wanders. I hear, but I don't listen. You ever done that in church? I know I have. I hear, but I don't listen. I know what he's talking. I know and I just don't listen to what he's saying. We need to learn to listen. Jesus, it was a teacher in the Garden of Gethsemane. He taught his disciples. He taught them that, hey, I'm going to die pretty soon. But they didn't listen. If they did, when we get the Father in the lesson, you'll understand that they did not listen. So we see that Jesus was a teacher in the garden. Second, I want to talk to you about Jesus' request, why he was in the garden. In Mark chapter 14, verse 34, then 37 and 42. Through 42. Did you listen? Well, I'm going to have a kind of repeat something similar to it. Because in Luke chapter 22 and verse 40 and 45 and 46.
He chose
45 through 46, the two verses.
And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation.
A simple request that he made to his disciples, watch and pray. Watch and pray. His disciples couldn't even do that. They went sound asleep. I'm afraid we as Christians are sound asleep. I want you to think about that a minute. All you have to do is look around in this world and see what's going on. You look at America, and you look at how the America has turned their back against God. Why? Why did that happen? I'm not blaming them, I'm blaming us. We're asleep spiritually. We're sound asleep. A simple request that God gave us is go and tell others. A simple request from God for us is to live a life that's pleasing unto him. But we're asleep. We don't go like we should and tell others. Oh, we let somebody else do it. We'll let the missionaries do it. We'll let others do it. You know, we don't take tracts with us. Many of us don't. When we go to a restaurant, we don't leave tracts. We're asleep. What is it going to take to wake us up? We need to be woken up from a deep spiritual sleep. You know what we need? We need revival. We need it so desperately. I need it. I hunger for it. But you know what? I'm asleep too. And it's a crying shame. I'm no different than anybody else. We need to be woken up and set afire. Folks, I believe we're living in the last days. As you look around and see all the things going on, I don't know the exact day or hour, but everything that's going on is being drawn together. Can you see it? This thing with ISIS, can you see what's going on? We gripe about the president. You know what? We deserve him. I don't like to hear that. I think we do. I don't like what he's doing. I don't like what he stands for. But you know, we as Christians, we're not doing our part. God tells us to humble ourselves and pray. He tells us to seek him. And we spend more time watching the blue tubes, getting on the telephone. We need to wake up, don't we? This was a very important time in God's life, in Christ's life. He was in a garden, and all he asked was something simple, pray. Pray and watch. Are we letting that request, are we watching? Are we seeing? And do we pray? You know, the key to victory in our lives is prayer. Do you pray for the missionaries? Do you pray for the pastor? Do you pray for each other? God, dear friend, Dick Grohl, his life is slowly leaving. Do you pray for Marie and KK? Get that they have strength, that they lean upon the Lord? Do you pray that, hey, or do you go and be with them a little bit, encourage them? Tell you a little story about that. It's kind of funny in a way. Pastor called me yesterday. Brother Hobson and I, we went to Jackson to visit Dick. And I believe it was on Thursday, wasn't it? We went and we visited him in Jackson. Then we get a call yesterday. The pastor called and said, Dale, if you want to see Brother Grohl here on earth, you might want to get up here. Hospice has been called in. So I go get Brother Hobson, and him and I drove to Jackson. Well, sorry, he's not in Jackson. He's hospice here in Adrian. Why did we drive to Jackson? I don't think I listened like I should. We got there, and there's a lot of people from Berean. The pastor called, and he was all there. And I tell you what, would you pray for him? Would you pray for Brother Dick? They took all the feeding tubes out. He's not drinking any water, so you know it's not going to be long. And he's going to be in heaven. But you and I, as a church, we need to be there for the family. We need to show love. You see, that's a simple request. And I believe that's what Jesus wants for this church, is that we do love one another in a very special way. Instead of criticizing, griping, complaining, let's just love one another. That is a command, isn't it? That's a simple request. So we looked at Jesus as a teacher, Jesus' request. Number three, Jesus' prayer. Have you ever spent time and look at the words as Jesus prayed in the garden? They're very important. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. And he went a little farther and fell on his face. Did you hear it? He fell on his face. He was spread out. He wasn't on his knees. He was spread out on his face. Have you thought about that for a minute? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords laying on the ground all spread out. He humbled himself, didn't he? And he prayed. Fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will be done." He wasn't necessarily asking that he didn't go to the cross. He says, "It's heavy, Lord. It's a heavy burden." He said, you know, he knew it was necessary. He knew he had to die. He said, "I'm willing to do it." Think about that a minute. Think about how we treat Christ. He gave his life for you and I to go to heaven. Do you look at yourself? Do you examine yourself and say, "Wow, do I treat Christ like I should?" You know, he wants to hear from us. He wants us to pray. He wants us to pray, "Thy will be done, not mine, but yours." Instead of that, we go and pray and say, "Hey, Lord, you know, I'd like $1 million. Hey, Lord, I need a new car." Do we say, "Lord, we want your will done in our lives"? We need to just do what he wants. Again, I can tell you a story that I don't like to have to tell, but I will. When I was a young man here at Berean Baptist Church in corner of Main and Beecher, age 13, I went to a Baptist youth camp in Lake Ann, Michigan. And as I was standing there, and I heard the missionary preach, I gave my whole life. I said, "God, I'll do anything you want." And guess what? A few years later, I told him, "No way." You know what he called me to be? He called me to be an evangelist. There's no doubt in my mind. He wanted me to go out and preach. I said, "God, you don't want me to preach? I can't even talk right. I murdered the English language." You know what I was dependent on? Me, not him. I didn't do his will. I know we're all up, getting up in years, but you know what? God has something for us to do. And everybody can pray. Everybody can pray. How's your prayer life? Is it where it should be? Do we pray the way we should? Do we let the Holy Spirit utter the sounds to us when we pray? You know, the Holy Spirit would do that. We need to learn how to really pray and get a hold of God's heart. Jesus had a special prayer. In Mark chapter 14, verse 34 and 36 and 39. Luke 22, verse 42.
Saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done."
I had those verses read over. I want you to understand how important that is. that we want God's will in our life. We must have his will in our life. Just because we're getting up in years don't mean we can't do God's will. We must do his will. You know, as a congregation, a body, don't you think that we, if we would learn to love one another, pray one for another by name, pray for our missionaries by name? I think so many times we pray, and I'm guilty of this, Lord, bless the missionaries. No, 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 no. Hey, we need to pray for them by name. You need to pray for the pastor. You need to pray for the staff. You need to pray for the deacons that we'll be the deacons we should be, that we serve like we should. We need to pray one for another by name. Do you have a list of members? Do you pray for your friends? Or do you just take it for granted everything will be all right? I tell you what, when Jesus prayed and I read these prayers, wow. He really prayed, didn't he? He knew how to pray. Do we? So we talked about Jesus was a teacher. He was the greatest teacher there ever was. Jesus made some requests, but it fell on deaf ears. I wonder if it does here. And Jesus prayed. There's one more point, and I want you to go to Luke chapter 22. Go ahead, you can go. I'll get it. Luke 22. And we're going to look at verse 41 and 46. It's always, I know, I like to use a lot of scripture because it's not me that's important. The words I say, it's what the Holy Spirit says in the scriptures. Verse 41 through 46. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And there appeared unto him an angel, unto him from heaven, strengthened him. And being in agony, I want to stop right there. Agony, agony, agony. He was suffering. Not because he's at the trial, not because he's on, he was in agony right there while he's praying. Think about that a minute. He knew exactly what was going to happen. Can you imagine how heavy his heart must have been when he thought about everything? He knew about you and I. He knew before he died how we was going to treat him. He also knew how many people was going to reject him and laugh at him and mock him. But he was still willing to die. He was in agony. I think he was trying to understand why. Why won't people accept what I'm going to do? Why won't they listen? Why don't they pray like they should? Maybe he didn't, but I could just see him do it. That's why he was in agony. He had a heavy, heavy load. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was that it was great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Picture that a minute. Picture as he's praying, that as he's sweating, it was red. His vessels literally broke in his forehead, and he began to blood began to run down his face. Because he was in such agony. When we pray, do we get in agony? Do we get a heavy load or a burden for somebody? Oh, we need to learn how to pray, and it's very special, like Jesus prayed here in the garden. Do you have a special spot you go to? Do you have a time alone with God? I think we as Christians, why we stumble and fall so much, and we don't spend enough time in prayer. In the Word of God, we don't have our garden that we should have. Jesus had a special place. In verse 45, and when he arose from the prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. I wonder, when Jesus splits the eastern skies, is he going to find us sleeping? Is he going to find us sound asleep? Or are we as a body of believers in a church band together to do what he wants us to do? In other words, we need to take care of self. Get it out of our system. Don't think about self. Think of him. Put him in the center of our life. I'd like to close with a song. I wish I could sing. I really do. If I was saying, every one of you'd get up and go down and be in Tim's class. Okay, there's no doubt about it. I was thinking have Brother Hardin come up and sing. And I don't know, I had never heard him sing, so I was afraid to ask him, okay? Because I don't know if he could sing or not. And he kind of look at me anyhow and say, well, who do you think you are? But this is a special song. It's simply called These Drops of Blood. And here it goes. I knelt in a garden where Jesus laid, where he poured out his heart in prayer. I hope you're listening to the words. I hope they mean something to you. I hope that maybe you have been in that garden, laid out, and pour your heart out in prayer, in such agony that he sweat drops of blood that fell round about him there. Have you ever prayed in agony? I mean deep spiritual prayer. Verse 2, I saw him accursed and condemned to die as they mocked him with a cruel scorn. I saw on his brow how the crown of stain flowed down from the crown of thorns. Picture Jesus this morning. Picture him as he's battered and beaten, spit upon. Picture him as a bloody mass that you could hardly recognize he was a human being. Look at the blood dripping down his face and his beard pulled out by the roots. Think about Jesus this morning. Verse 3, I knelt at the cross where he bled and died. You know, many of us have been at that cross, and we know Christ is our personal Savior, and we ask him to come into our heart. But for some reason, that's where we leave it. Most of us just leave it there. Have we ever thought about coming to the second cross? You say, what are you talking about? Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Have you ever crucified self? I tell you what, it took me a long time to realize that I have blown it. I need to crucify self, get rid of self, and put Christ first. I knelt at the cross where he bled and died. I knew that was for me. Look up, see the Savior, see that bloody mass. Just think a minute. And think when he took your sin and my sin and placed it on him, how it must have been a lot more agony than I ever had in the garden. And the sins that were many were all washed away. Oh, isn't that great? You know, Jesus, God looks at us like we're righteous. Wow. In the blood shed on Calvary, Jesus shed his blood for you and me. And all he does is make a simple request. Simple. Love me. Serve me. Is that hard? Would you pray? Would you be really earnest in prayer? Those drops of blood cry out today. They tell of love that lives for I. They tell of Christ who died to make us free. Those drops of blood were shed for you and me. You know, we just need to think about that, not just this time of year, year round, every day. Jesus shed blood for you and for me. And all he asked, and I'm going to repeat it again, is for us to love him and keep his commandments. If you love me, you'd keep my commandments. Do you pray like you should? Do you study the Word of God like you should? I asked myself that question after I got this outline this morning. And the answer is, no, I don't. We need to really get on our knees. We all see this church do something special? Let's pray. Pray for our preacher and our staff. Pray one for another. But most of all, let's just keep his commandments. Let's do what he wants us to do. Let's pray. Oh, ushers, you can come forward. I almost forgot the offering. I'd be in trouble with the preacher. And I don't want to get in trouble. The garden. Why they're coming. Taking the offering. Do you have a special place? Do you really? I do. I've been having a special place, but it's not. You know what? It should be every day, and it's not. Do you have a special place that you can go pray? We need to be alone with him, don't we? Spend some time. Then when trials and tribulations come, we're all prayed up. And it's so much easier to get through them. So much easier when we're prayed up. Believe me, it is. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this Sunday school lesson you gave me this morning. Lord, I'm going to be honest with you. I was afraid to even speak about it because I studied hard on all those other lessons. But this is what you wanted. This is the message you gave or the lesson you gave this morning. And I thank you how everybody paid attention and listened. And I pray all of us will find a garden that we can be alone, that you can teach us, that you make requests to us, that we pray. And Lord, maybe we'll be in agony for one another as we live through this life, which is getting worse and worse. And pray that you will come again and soon to take us home to glory. But most of all, to pray for the lost out there that are dying and go spend eternity in the lake of fire burning forever. We must go and tell them that Jesus loves them. Thank you for this opportunity. In Christ's name, amen. And thank you.